Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 134. Laurie Christine, mom of four boys and podcast host of Redeeming the Chaos, talks to us about the importance of family devotions. And the best part is that Laurie brings her own resources to the table to help those of us who may need some fresh ideas. Have you wondered if there's a Bible to School in your area? Did you know you can check out our website, Bible2School.com? That's Bible, the number two, school.com, and click on the Find a Program tab to easily locate an active program. While you're there, you can learn more about us, find out how you can get involved, and even register a student. Do you enjoy listening to this podcast every week? Consider joining our podcast impact team. For $15 a month, you can join us in our mission of equipping people to share God's word with the next generation. And an added bonus, you'll get a t-shirt and have the option to be mentioned in an upcoming episode. Click the impact team link in our show notes to find out more. Ready to hear what Laurie has to say about family devotional time? Join our conversation now. Well, hi, Laurie. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast.
Hey, Meredith. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, same. Would you just take a second for those who haven't heard from you before and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. My name is Laurie Christine. I am an author, a podcast host, and a mom of four boys. So my podcast, Redeeming the Chaos, is a podcast for moms of boys. And I invite you to join me on the wild, wonderful adventure of raising courageous boys and connecting them with Christ.
Yeah.
And I also write devotions and Bible stories for boys. And I can tell you a little bit about those later in the show.
Awesome. And we'll get to that for sure. To our listeners, Laurie was with us before. She spoke on contentment. It's a great episode. Super glad to have you back here, Laurie, to talk about the value in having devotions as a family, and then also how to make that time engaging. So start out by telling us, what are family devotions?
Yeah, so family devotions are just, it's just a time where you are spending time together as a family in God's word. And we can talk about this too, that it doesn't necessarily have to be the entire family all at the same time, but it is you as a parent teaching your kids and discipling your kids and teaching them about the Lord. So, you know, it's something that we are commanded to do in the Bible. The Bible talks many times about teaching our children, passing on the laws of the Lord to our children. And so, yeah, so we've come to call it family devotions, but that word is not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you must have family devotions with your family or that it has to look a specific way.
Good to know. I was going to ask that. There's no devotions in the Bible. Okay. I believe it. So I know they're important. You know they're important. Can you tell us maybe a few reasons why, other than the Bible says to do it, you think devotions are important?
Yeah. Well, as parents, we have the biggest influence in the lives of our children. And there's just so much confusion in our world today, in our society, about truth and what is truth and where does truth come from. So I think it's just so important to have our kids grounded in the truth with a capital T, the truth of God's word, and help them to understand that this is our source of truth. This is our measuring stick. This is where we come to find answers for morality and for life. And because so many people in our culture don't have a standard of truth, they don't think there is a standard of truth, you know, there's no logic to it. There's no, it's just a very wishy-washy way of thinking. But when we teach our kids that God's word is the truth, then they can have that as a foundation going forward in life.
That's so good. That is the truth, is that the culture teaches them something other than the truth, which is relative. And that's not a good place to start. So
yeah,
I think that we're getting back to the basics and the foundation, just like you said. So tell us, Laurie, what does the Bible say about teaching and discipling our kids?
Well, there are several verses, many verses actually, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, One of the saddest verses in the Bible is in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Mm-hmm. And I read that verse and I just think, how is that possible? How did an entire generation forget about the Lord? This was the generation who saw God's miracles coming out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. God provided for them in the wilderness. And then that generation did not teach their kids about the Lord. So that next generation forgot about the Lord and they walked away from the Lord. So we can see just the results of a whole generation who didn't take on that responsibility to teach their kids about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that whole generation just fell away from the Lord. So there's a verse in Psalm 78:4 that says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. And that's kind of a theme verse for my ministry and my podcast, that we want to tell our kids, we want to tell the next generation so that they will not walk away from the Lord. We have that responsibility as parents to pass on the truths about God and to remember the mighty things, telling our kids about the mighty things that God has done for them.
That's so good. And you know what? I'm actually personally walking through the Bible Recap with Tara Lee Cobble.
Oh, yeah.
We just recently got done with the book of Numbers, heading into Deuteronomy. And right there, right after Moses is getting ready to die, and he goes through the whole history, like you were saying, of what the Israelites went through, walking through the wilderness for 40 years, God providing for them, going across the Red Sea. And there's like this whole summary. It's not the first time he did it either, of what they went through. And as the reader, I'm like, why are we hearing this all again? And it's exactly to avoid what you said happened in Judges, right? So that we wouldn't forget. Because how can you forget this great God and all that he brought them through? But like we're going to talk about even more, I believe the Bible tells us to remember and to talk about it and to impress on our children so that the next generation will know the one true God. So pretty powerful stuff, Laurie. Do you have any other words from scripture or any other spots in the Bible that tell us about teaching and discipling our kids?
Well, I love that you mentioned the verse in Deuteronomy. Because, and we can talk about this a little bit later too, but just it talks about these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And the commandment that it was just talking about, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it says, these commandments that I give you are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. So their lives were just saturated with the word of God. And I think that's one thing as parents that we can attempt to do with our families as well, just to saturate our homes and our families with the word of God.
So good. Deuteronomy 6. That is actually Bible to School's theme verse, which ties redeeming the chaos's theme verse. I love that. Well, it really is meant to be just a part of our daily living, but the truth is this can be tricky because there are often barriers that stand in our way. So why don't you tell us about some of those barriers to having family Bible time together?
Yeah. So I have 5 different barriers and then also solutions to those barriers, or at least something that you can work on to overcome some of those barriers. So the first one is my kids just aren't interested. And that can be difficult, but my first encouragement would be to check your own heart and see, are you interested? Are you interested in the word of God? Are you excited about reading God's word? Because not always, but a lot of times your kids will pick up on that and they'll realize like, oh, mom's really excited about this. You know, just even sharing little things like, hey, I was reading in my devotions this morning and this is what I learned. This is amazing. Did you ever know this? And so just they'll pick up on your passion for the word of God. And then also be persistent. Parenting is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. It's a long race. And, you know, just be persistent. If they don't seem like they're interested, just keep being faithful. And we will talk about some strategies that we can use, more specific strategies to help your kids become more interested in what you're talking about. But the second barrier I would say is that I don't know enough about the Bible. Or what if my kids ask a question that I don't know the answer to? And to that, I would say that's okay. There are lots of resources available to help you get started, which we can talk about, but tell your kids that you're excited to learn right alongside them. You know, maybe you didn't grow up studying the Bible and you want to help your kids learn about the Lord and to get excited about God's word. And you can say, hey, we're going to do this together. I don't know all the answers, but we're going to learn together. And if they ask a question that you don't know the answer to, just say, that's a great question. I'm going to find out the answer to that. You know, let's look it up. Let's look it up in on our Bible app or, you know.
Yeah, that almost makes you work together more. That could be a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It can be a journey that you're going on together as a family. Another roadblock is that, or barrier, I would say. Some people say, well, my kids just won't sit still. Well, yes, kids don't sit still. That means they're kids. depending on the age of your kids, it might not be a reasonable expectation to make them sit still for a 30-minute Bible lesson. You know, you can choose activities that will help your kids to get up and moving or doing things with their hands and keep listening. We will talk about some practical ideas for that as well. Okay. Another barrier is I don't know where to start. And I would say it's okay to start very small. Very small, like one verse. Like, all right, guys, we're going to read one verse.
Yeah.
Every morning at breakfast, we're going to write on a note card, and that's going to be our verse for the week. And we're just going to read it every morning before you head off to school. Like,
Absolutely. That
small, little things.
So good. That's what my heart needs to hear. And God will honor that, right? I mean, it's His
Absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the fifth barrier that I think that sometimes we face is my spouse isn't on board with this. What do I do if, especially moms, I feel like, can feel frustrated. Sometimes they have expectations of, well, dad is supposed to be the spiritual leader for the family. Dad is supposed to lead family devotions. Dad is supposed to take initiative here. And that's not often the case. If it is, that's amazing. And if that is true in your house, that is fabulous. But I don't even know that that's necessarily a realistic expectation. So just a few thoughts from the Bible. Timothy, who there's a letter in the two letters in the New Testament written to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he was an assistant to the Apostle Paul in the Bible. His mother was a Jewish believer, but it is likely that his father was a non-believing Greek. Mm-hmm. And Paul acknowledges, when he's writing to Timothy, Paul acknowledges the faith of Timothy and his mother and his grandmother. And he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And I always love those verses because it just gives evidence to the influence of moms and grandmothers in the lives of your kids. You know, if your husband is not on board, you know, whether he's not interested, and actually I have an entire episode on my podcast about why dads struggle to lead family devotions. So go check out that episode because there's some really great insight there. Anyway, but just an encouragement, you mom can have a huge, tremendous influence on the lives of your kids, even if your partner is not involved.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
Does God have a wife?
No, God does not have a wife. But we can understand this better when we explore more of who God has told us He is. Creator of everything, self-sustaining, all-knowing, holy, and love are just a few of the many ways He describes Himself. God does not need anything or anyone to be complete, and He alone deserves all the glory.
Well, and that's such a good word. I mean, our podcast is called You Can Tell the Children because our goal is to equip everyone who has children in their circle of influence to tell children about the Lord and Jesus and His great love for them. And, you know, you can be a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, like we all have influence and the Lord will use it all. So I love that. And I love that the Bible gives us little glimpses into things like that when people make a difference, like moms and grandmas even. So how would you specifically encourage parents who feel like they're falling behind or failing in this area of family Bible time, Laurie?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lies that the enemy tries to deceive us with is that we are failures at raising our children. We're failing. You're a terrible mom. You're a terrible dad. You might as well give up, you know. So first of all, I would say it's never too late to start teaching the kids about the Lord. If you have not been having any sort of Bible time as a family, or if you have not been teaching your kids about the Lord at all, it's never too late to start. And also remember that discipleship is going to look different for every family. It's not going to look the same. You know, if you have friends who are like, well, every single night we have a 30-minute Bible study and then 20 minutes of prayer, and that, you know,
yay, that's for you.
Not, yay for you, but that's not realistic for my family. For
right.
Sure.
What a good word. Comparison kills joy. So that's a good reminder. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so there's three pieces of encouragement that I would have for you. If you feel like you're kind of failing in this area, or that you've fallen behind, or you're feeling guilty about this, first of all, is to understand your responsibility.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that you have a responsibility as a parent, but also your child has a responsibility and God has a responsibility. It's not your responsibility to change or convince your child about their spiritual condition. Like, you can't convince them. You can't argue them into salvation or into submission to the Lord. So as parents, our responsibility is to teach, to train, to disciple, ultimately to pray for our children. We do have that responsibility to teach them, to pass that truth on to our kids, but we can't control how they respond to that. Our children are individuals. They have a sinful nature. They have a choice to reject or accept the truth of God's word. So our children have that responsibility to listen, to submit to the Lord's leading in their lives, to respond to the truth of the gospel. And then God has a responsibility as well. His responsibility is to produce the fruit in the lives of our kids. It's his responsibility to change their hearts. I can't change the hearts of my kids. I can pray for them. I can teach them. I can influence them. But ultimately, God is the one who changes their hearts. So I think sometimes we feel like failures because we're trying to take on that responsibility of God. We're trying to take on God's responsibility, where what we need to do is trust God that he is faithful and that he is going to be working in their hearts.
I love this piece of wisdom, Lori. I think it's so important because it literally, when we're worried about our children, when we're trying to make them accept what we're saying, instead of just trusting the Lord with it, we're carrying a burden we were never meant to carry. Mm-hmm. And so that creates stress and anxiety and things that the Lord doesn't want us to carry. You know, he says, cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. He really means it. And I remember learning not so long ago that even in myself, I can't produce more patience, kindness, gentleness. That is the work of the Lord in me as I abide in him. So great advice that we need to keep this in mind as we are parenting. So thank you for the reminder. My job is to teach, disciple, and pray. That is helpful.
Yes. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it talks about Paul and Apollos. And the Corinthians were arguing about, well, I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Apollos. And Paul says, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter who did this, the planting. He says, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. And I just am always encouraged by that as a mom, because I'm like, okay, we are planting seeds in the lives of our kids. We are watering the seeds. And sometimes it takes a long time for those seeds to grow. You know, if you think about a fruit tree, you plant a seed, an apple seed, it's going to take a long time till that tree is actually full grown and mature and actually producing fruit. So don't get discouraged if you plant a seed and you water it and you don't see results overnight, because it takes a long time for those seeds to grow. I wanted to mention quickly to the verse in Deuteronomy. I want to go back to that real quick, because in that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says to talk to your children, talk about the laws when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And I think sometimes we feel guilty as parents, or we feel like we're failing as parents if our discipleship, if our family Bible time doesn't look like everyone else's. It doesn't look like, okay, every night before bed, we're all sitting down together as a family, because I think we forget or we discount sometimes that on the road piece. So it says, when you're at home, which would be, I like to call it on the couch discipleship or on the road discipleship. So when you're at home, that's on the couch, that's more structured Bible times. Maybe you're reading a devotional book together or a Bible story together. You're doing something a little bit more structured. But then don't discount that on the road time. When you're on the road, this is the discipleship you do with your kids as you're going about your day. It might be a comment that you make as you're driving in the car, or a discussion that comes up after watching a movie. It might be helping your child to apply biblical truths to a specific situation that they're dealing with at school. So think about those times. I was just talking to a mom recently who said, oh, I do that. Oh, we do that all the time. Yeah, I thought I was failing because we didn't have this structured Sunday school lesson every evening before bed at in our home. But she's like, but we talk about the Lord all the time throughout the day. And she was just encouraged. She's like, oh, I'm actually doing this. I'm not necessarily failing in this area.
So good.
So the last one is just that it's never too late to start teaching your kids about the Lord. You know, if you do feel like you've been failing in this area, ask God for strength, ask Him for wisdom and guidance to train your children, and then just take the responsibility for your role, but trust God in His role.
Okay. Amen. Great wisdom there. So here's the thing though, my kids, to be honest, they get bored just reading the Bible. So do you have, Lori, any practical ways to engage my kids in family devos and Bible time?
Yeah, I know we are short on time here. So I'm going to just mention a resource that you can get that will give you all of these practical tips. I have a free resource on my website and it's called Bored with the Bible. And I'm sure Meredith will put a link in the show notes, but you can find it at lauriechristine.com/youcantellthechildren. And there's all of these practical resources in there. But a couple of them, one is to use object lessons with your kids. This takes a little bit more planning, but it's a great way to just make the story come alive with your kids, helping them to connect with prior knowledge. So, you know, if they're feeling bored, like, oh, I already know this story. Great. Acknowledge that. Hey, you've heard this story before, but let's see if you can remember, you know, kind of make it like a little quiz. Like, let's see if you, what you remember about the story, or have them tell parts of the story so that they feel like they're taking ownership of that. I would say definitely mix up the time of day. It doesn't have to be at nighttime. Sometimes nighttimes are chaotic. Sometimes bedtime is chaotic. Like, there's no rule that says Bible time has to be at night. There's no rule that says Bible time has to be all the kids together at the same time. You know, you can, right now as a family, we are, so my two younger kids, I do a devotion and a Bible story with them before they leave for school in the morning. But then the older kids, they're kind of doing some independent things, or we're doing something, I'll read something with them at bedtime. Or so you can kind of break it up a little bit depending on the needs of your family and the ages of your kids and things like that.
So it's not like it always has to be a everybody sits down at this time type thing. It's really just going to be age dependent, who's around, when they're around, just kind of like you said, as we walk along and as we sit down, but it may look different depending on your specific family needs. And that's okay, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then with sports schedules, it can be super challenging to get everyone together at the same time. So what are your thoughts on like saying once a week family devotions and then all the other things, they'll fall in place as they may. Is that okay? Or is that getting kind of tricky as far as keeping habits and everything?
Absolutely. I think that's great. I mean, if you're not doing family devotions at all, once a week is better than nothing at all. Yeah, for sure. Once a week on a weekend. And there's lots of resources that have like a more extended like activities that you can do and make it a fun family event. Yeah, absolutely. And then during the week, you know, as you're going, as you're talking with individual kids, yeah, have conversations, or encouraging your older kids to have devotions on their own, or to spend time in God's word individually as they get older. Yeah, absolutely. There's no like specific.
There's no checklist.
Yeah, there's no checklist. There's no checklist. Yeah.
Well, I use the verse of the day before the kids go out. They're used to that. So like, if I forget, they're like, Mom, what about the verse of the day? You know,
and nice.
My older kids and then I'll pray a blessing over them. Probably something to do with the verse of the day. Thank you, Bible app. Or even, you know, individual prayers before bedtime. So we do get those things in, but I do love the idea, and we haven't started it yet, but like on the weekend when there aren't sports, you know, hey, let me teach you what I'm learning in my quiet time. And then I don't even have to prepare as much because I already know.
So yeah, that's great.
But you had mentioned it right there. What age do you recommend encouraging our kids to have Bible reading time on their own?
I think it totally depends on your kid. Some are ready and more mature and more independent at an earlier age. My two oldest are 13 and 11, and my older two are having quiet time and devotions on their own. It's still like I hand them the Bible. I'm like, all right, it is time for you to read your Bible. You know, they're not motivated on their own or, you know, to just go and pick up their Bible and do it. But that, so I mean, I would in general, like 10, 9, 10, 11, it just totally depends on the age of your kid when you feel like they're at that point and ready to do that.
Do you think it's important to require it and set apart time that says now's Bible time? Or since, like you said in the beginning, you know, it's our job to disciple, to teach, and God's job to do the fruit producing, do you let them decide whether or not to make it a priority?
I think that it's okay to require it. I was just thinking about this beforehand, and I was like, so I make my kids brush their teeth as part of their daily routine, because that's what we do. You brush your teeth before you go to bed. And it might not always be fun. They might not always like it, but I know it's good for them. Sweet. And I know it's going to develop habits that are going to help them into adulthood. And I know that in the long run, they're going to have healthy teeth. So nobody feels guilty for making their kids brush their teeth. So yes, I think it's totally fine. Right. You know, don't make it into like this power struggle battle, but I think it's totally fine to make it part of their daily routine. Be like, hey, no TV till you spend 5 minutes reading your Bible.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. I think that's great wisdom and advice that I can use in my household too. And trust me, I use leverage. Like you said, there is no phone until this chore is done. So there is, you know, no need to sit down and be mindlessly entertained until you first fill your mind with the word of God. I think that's great advice, Laurie. Thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before you head out today, do you have any other wisdom and encouragement for our listeners or even resources you'd like to share?
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of resources on my website, and I won't have time to talk about all of them, but I did mention the free ebook, Bored with the Bible, and you can find that lauriechristine.com/ you can tell the children, all one word. And I also have several devotions and Bible studies. I told you that I write devotions and Bible studies specifically for preteen boys. So if you have preteen boys in the house, ages like 8 to 12, I have a series called the Dragon Slayer Bible Series. And this is, I like to say, it's Frank Peretti meets the Jesus Storybook Bible. There is currently one book out available on Amazon. It's called Rise of the Enemy. That's book one. And book two is actually launching on Kickstarter on April 3rd. So if you're listening to this between April 3rd and April 19th, 2024, you can order a copy of book two, which is called Garden of Secrets. And actually, might be Garden of Mysteries by the time you get there. The book is written, but I'm debating on the name. And there are links. I have links at that same link, my website / you can tell the children. You can also find all of that information at dragonslayerbible.com. I have information about the books. Yeah, I have links to the Kickstarter and links to Amazon as well.
Awesome. Well, and I can vouch for the first book in the Dragon Slayer Bible series. I actually read it with my 11-year-old daughter and
Yay!
Loved it. It has pictures and she was like, whoa, is that like really what it looks like? You know, and just being able to talk about our enemy and talk about our Lord as victorious over the enemy, but the real spiritual battle that we are in the day to day is actually fascinating at that age level, especially. And yeah, we really enjoyed it. So I look forward to the second one coming out.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Laurie, would you bless us by closing us in prayer?
Sure. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us children and you've blessed us with the responsibility of teaching our kids. And God, I just pray for all of the parents listening that you would give them strength and wisdom and encouragement to pass on your truth to our children. And I pray for anyone who may be feeling just discouraged or overwhelmed, just give them encouragement, help them to know how much you love them and that you will give them the strength that they need to do your will and to teach their children about you. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I absolutely love Laurie's reminder that discipleship looks different for each family and that it is the Lord's job to produce the fruit from our efforts. In what ways do you obey the Deuteronomy command to impress God's word on your children? I bet you talk about them at home and along the road a lot more than you realize. Would you share your stories with us? Join our conversation by liking Bible to School on Facebook and Instagram, and then comment on our posts. Other followers will be encouraged to hear how you live your faith practically at home with the kids in your circle of influence. Before leaving today, please take a moment to rate and review the You Can Tell the Children podcast on your favorite podcast channel. This small step can help us reach others with the message of Jesus and let them know they can start a Bible to School program in their communities. A fun new episode airs next week. Shannon Popkin and Lee Nienhuis give us a sneak peek into their co-authored book, Comparison Girl for Teens, while Corey asks questions to help navigate these waters with our younger children as well. So until then, friends, remember, you can have meaningful family devotions with the kids in your life.